Anybody missing design?
So, for the first time in a long time, the actual daf number is on the top of the page, which is nice. We're doing Psachim Kuf Tes Vav and Kuf Tes Zayin, hopefully.
There are two Tes Zayins here.
I think Daniel thinks that I'm too ambitious, but we'll see. Basically, Psachim, of course, is about Pesach, but as many of you probably already know, it's only the 10th parak of Psachim that's actually relevant. Well, that's not fair. It's the 10th parak that's the most interesting parak of the Masechta, and is the most relevant because it's all about the Seder and everything. Most of Psachim is about Korbanos, namely the Korban Pesach, the Chagiga. Parts of Psachim, of course, are about Chametz. But the 10th parak is devoted completely to the mitzvahs of the Seder night. It's also true that the 10th parak contains a lot of halachos of brachos and really everyday halachot, kiddush, a lot of stuff about kiddush. But we're going to jump into the parts about the Seder. And we're basically coming in over here on Kuf Tes Vav, right in the middle, at the beginning of the Seder. We've missed, I apologize, you came in late, we've missed Karpas, and we've missed the first Kos. But basically everything after that we're going to catch.
Amud Aleph or Amud
Bet? Amud Aleph of Kuf Tes Vav, if you have it. Everybody should have it. Okay, so we're going to skip past the part about the Karpas, and we're up to Hillel. Okay, it starts with the word Amaravina. It says Amaravina. It's right before that part that we're going to get there. But Amaravina, yeah, you see the little aleph? So like two lines below the little aleph, at the end of the line it says Amar, and the beginning of the line it says Ravina. Okay? So Amaravina. Everybody with me? What we're going to do, we don't have any Makoros this week. No, normally we have Makoros on the side. This time we're going to go through the Gemara, we'll do some of the Tosas, and we'll just talk. Because basically, this should come in handy next week. Should be very meaningful. Hopefully this makes the Seder much more meaningful when you know some of the Makoros inside. Almost the entire Haggadah, well, not almost the entire Haggadah, most of the things in the Haggadah, of course, come from these Mishnayos and these Gemaras in Psachim. Why don't you sit next to me, okay? Amar Avina.
Even she, yeah.
So Amar Avina, Amar Li Rav Masharshe, Breda Rav Nasan. Ravina testifies. Ravina was one of the last two Amoros. Ravina and Ravashi are basically the authors of the Gemara. They're the composers, the ones who put it all together. So this is very late. Amar Ravina Amar Rav Mishar Shebrei Durav Nasan. Hachi Amar Hillel. Hillel said the following. Mishmei de Gemara. He said in the name of the Gemara. Unclear exactly what that means, although it's going to be important later. Amar Hillel Mishmei de Gemara. Lo nichroch inish matze umara bahadi hadadei v'nechol. Do not combine the matzah and the maror together and eat it. Mishum desfirlan matzah b'zman hazeh d'oraisa umaror d'rabanan v'ati maror d'rabanan umavatale l'matzah d'oraisa. Why? Because he figured that matzah and maror, this Hillel person, figured that matzah today, nowadays is d'oraisa still. Right? There's actually two aspects to the matzah mitzvah. One is that it should be eaten along with Maror and the Korban Pesach, and the other that should be eaten by itself, right? Normally we fulfill both of them, well, during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, we fulfilled both of them at the same time. But nowadays, we can still fulfill the mitzvah to eat matzah by itself, by Erev Toch L'matzos, right? But then, there's another aspect to it that is supposed to be eaten with the Maror and the Korban Pesach. And unfortunately, as the Gemara explains later, now that we don't have the Korban Pesach, that aspect of the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. And so too, Maror doesn't apply anymore midoraisa. Okay, so maror that we have nowadays is only midorabanan. We do it to keep, you know, to keep it going. Tradition, right? The rabbis instituted that we're going to continue doing it. But it's not doraisa because we don't have the Korban Pesach. So he's worried, Hillel, that if we eat the matzah and the maror together, what's going to happen? The maror flavor, the taste of the maror, is going to be mevatel, the taste of the matzah. It's going to ruin it. Not ruin it, but it's going to subsume it. It's going to dominate. Va'afilu lama, and he says,
he's not worried about that with the Pesach?
No. So it's va'afilu lama andam rematzos ein mevatel zu. Mitzvos ein mevatel zu. Aye, but there's a position rail that says that mitzvos can't be mevatel each other. In other words, if you have two mitzvos and you do them together, eating mitzvos and you do them together, they don't cancel each other out. Hani mila daraisa b'daraisa, o b'darabanan b'darabanan, aval daraisa b'darabanan, adi darabanan umavatale l'daraisa. That rule that mitzvos can't cancel each other out, because you're so interested in the mitzvah, that would apply if both of them are on the same level. But here, they're not on the same level. And therefore, the mitzvah midrabanan, the maror, comes and it cancels out the matzah. But there is that position. So, mantana deshamata le mitzvahs ein mevat lezu etzu. Who's going to be the one who says that mitzvahs do not cancel each other out? Obviously, it has to be Hillel. Hillel hi. D'tanya. Amru alav al Hillel, shahaya korchan bevas achas v'ochlan. Hillel used to make a sandwich, right? He used to put them together, matzah and maror, and eat them all together. V'ochlan, and he would eat them, shenemar, al matzos v'morim yochluhu, you eat them together. Now, at this point, some of you should be confused. What should you be confused about?
Hillel's contradicting
himself. Hillel says that you shouldn't eat them together, and then Hillel says that you should eat them together. And we all know that Hillel says you eat them together, because as we eat them, we say what the Gemara is going to say in a minute, which is that Hillel used to do this.
Then we do both.
So we do both. We do it because Hillel did that. So it's not too exciting. The first Hillel is an Amora. It's not the same person. That's why it says Mishmei the Gemara.
That's very exciting.
The first Hillel is an Amora. Okay, now it gets even more confusing. There's another person by the name of Hillel, which is Hillel HaZakeh, who is the one who established the calendar, right? Which is not the same as either one of these people. So it gets very confusing. But either way, there's Hillel, who we're about to read a little bit more about in a second, who instituted the Korech. And then there's the Hillel at the beginning of this, who says, don't do Korech, basically. Right? He said, don't do Korech, because you're not going to get matzah in. So the Gemara continues and says, who's the one who says it? Must be Hillel. Amar of Yochanan. Now, when the Gemara says, who's the one who says it? What's the implication? That there is another position which says not to do it. Amar of Yochanan. Cholken alav chaver of al Hillel. Hillel's friends disagreed with him. Titanya yochel yehe korchan bevas achas vochel kederach shehillel ochlan. You might think that we should do a korech sandwich just like Hillel used to do it. Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, Almatzos amorim yochluhu. They read the pasuk differently. They say it means that you can have matzah by itself and maror by itself and the korban pesach by itself. You don't have to have them all together. That's the rabbi's position against Hillel. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. Is that really an accurate portrayal of what the rabbi said about Hillel? Hillel says you have to eat the matzah and the maror together with the korban pesach. Then the rabbis came along and they say, no. You don't have to read the pasuk that way. The pasuk could be saying that you can eat the matzah by itself and the maror by itself if you want. Are they contradicting Hillel necessarily?
No.
Are they saying that what Hillel did is bad? No. The Gemara says, Matkif la Rav Ashi. What's matkif? What kind of question is that?
Attacking.
It's an attacking question from Svara, right? Not from a different source. We're not going to bring in any other sources here. We're just going to say, wait a second, does that make sense? Matkifla Ravashi, ihachi may afilu. Why use the word afilu? If they think that you're not allowed to do what Hillel said, right? If they think that you're not allowed to eat the matzah and maror together because maybe they are the position that say mitzvahs mevat lo tzu, that you should not eat matzah and maror together because then you're not going to be yotze matzah or maror or one or the other, then they shouldn't say afilu, they should say you have to eat matzah by itself and maror by itself. They shouldn't say you can also eat matzah by itself and maror by itself. Afilu means you can also do that, which means that it's an option to do what Hillel said. But if they think that mitzvos mevat lo tzu, then it shouldn't be an option. So the Gemara backtracks and says, yeah, you're right, actually. Elam Ravashi, hai tana hachiktani. This is how you have to read that braisa. Yachol lo yatze behu yudei chovaso. Ela im kein korchan bevat achas. Uva ochlen kederach shehillel ochlen. Tamun lo mra amatzos amorim yochlu. Afilu zebifniatzo vezebifniatzo. Yeah, you're right. The Rabbana don't disagree with Hillel that you're allowed to do that. They just say you don't have to do that. Hillel is adamant that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of al matzos amorim yochlu, you must eat the matzah and the maror together. The rabbis don't disagree with Hillel. They say, you're right, you can be yotze the mitzvah that way. Mitzvahs ein mevat lo zutzu if they're both derabana, if they're both daraisa. However, you don't have to do it that way. You can if you'd like, but you don't have to. So what Hillel was doing is really the best thing, because you can be yotze Hillel and you can be yotze the rabbis. It's just that nowadays, we have the problem of mitzvahs mevat lo zutzu. That's why we do it not like Hillel, and then we do it like Hillel. Why do we do it like Hillel? What do we do? Since we don't even know what the halacha is, V'hadar mevarech al achilas maror v'achil. V'hadar achil matzah v'chasa b'hadah de'adah de'blo bracha zecher le'mikdash kehilal. That's what we do at the Seder, and that's the reason. First we eat the matzah with the bracha, then we eat the maror with the bracha alone, and then we eat the matzah and the maror together, zecher le'mikdash kehilal. Some people at the Seder are careful not to talk in between, because they figure maybe we can get Hillel in also, right? So they say the Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel afterwards or right before, and they don't talk in between.
Do those who don't touch anything with their matzah, do they do this?
Shruya. They must. I think it's not wet. I guess if they, I don't, it's a good question. I guess if they don't let the lettuce get wet or something, I don't know. It's a good question.
And the reason for a minimum shear?
They didn't. I can't imagine. Horseradish is wrong. So you can't be using horseradish. So we're not going to get into that right now. It's the wrong daf for it. We missed that part. Sorry.
Why do you need the minimum shear for both? I mean, you're not making a bracha on the Hillel sandwich, so why?
What do you mean the minimum shear?
Like why?
You need a shear of matzah.
You need a
full shear of matzah because that's a mitzvah
d'oraisa. Right.
Then you need a full shear of maror because you know that's a chiyuv as well.
Right.
Then for korech you don't need a full shear. You can use the small shear. Right? Everybody, not everybody, a lot of people know that that the real old shear of a kezayis lechora is very small, right? Very small. And then the Noda Behuda came along and said that our kezesim are smaller, so they have to double in size, so now everybody has to stuff their faces with matzah. Not the time for right now. But basically, you want to do the full big shear for the first matzah and for mara, and then you could use the smaller shear for korech, because anyways, it's only a minhag.
Okay.
Right? The same is true for the afikom. It also has to be a big shear, because the afikom is also a mitzvah. Okay. So that's until Korech. Now at the bottom of the page is Amar B'Yelazar, Amar B'Shaya, Kol Shetibula B'Mashka Tzarech Netil Sedaim. You know what? Hold on 1 second. Maybe we want to do Tosos now because who knows if we're going to have time to get back to it. So if you look at the Tosos on the side, V'Hadar Achil Chasa B'Lo Bracha. You see it? Tosos on the side. V'Nira Dein Tzarech Levarech Bar Piha Adama. Oh, now we got up to Maror. Right? We're in the middle of Maror. Do you make a Bor Piha Adama on Maror? Why yes, why no?
Because you already made it on the Karpas.
So you shouldn't make it on the Maror because you already made it on the Karpas. Why should you make it?
Why should you make it on Maror?
Because it's a bracha.
No, for sure you're going to make Alachilas Maror. The question is, do you make a Bor Piha Adama?
If you already made it on the Karpas, then no.
No, because
is there any reason why you should?
It wasn't at the table, we didn't have in mind.
Say again?
It wasn't at the table, we didn't have in mind.
It wasn't on the table? Well, it was on the table.
Yeah, but
there's a hefzer.
You have to have it.
On the kaira, it's on the table.
And you're supposed to eat less than a shear.
So what? So you eat less than a shear, so what? So you don't have to make a bracha achrona. That's why we don't need a shear.
Yeah.
So that's supposed to cover. Good. Okay, so Tosa says, V'nira dein tzarech levarech bar piha adama, avagav dahagada havi hefzek. Mm-hmm. He says, even though the Haggadah is a hefsek, you don't have to make a Bar Piha Adama. You might think that, okay, we made on Karpas all the way to the beginning of the Haggadah, then we did all of Magid, which, you know, depending on the house, could take a long time. A
couple of minutes at least.
Right. Avi hefsek, the bebracha shel tibul rishon. So he says, mikol makom birchas hamotzi pototan. So Tosa says, no, it has nothing to do with hefsek or no hefsek. He says, you made a hamotzi on the matzah. That's going to take care of your Bari Piha Adama. What's the issue? The Avalu Dvarim Habayim B'toch HaSehuda. So Tosas makes a leap, and he says that the Maror is Dvarim Habayim B'toch HaSehuda. We all know that if you make a Hamotzi, you don't have to make any other brachos, right? That's your catch-all. It's the universal bracha. You make Hamotzi, you don't have to make any other brachos. But that's not exactly true. The Gemara in Brachos says that if it's not Dvarim Habayim B'toch HaSehuda, if it's not something that's basically part of the meal, but if it's dessert or an appetizer, right, something that's done in order to just make you, in order to whet your appetite, right? Then that's the kind of thing you have to make a bracha on. So very often, you'll start your meal and then they'll bring out fruit. It doesn't happen so much anymore. I don't know. It happened in my house a lot. I wonder if they do that anymore. They bring out fruit. Now I'm not talking about the grapefruit, because grapefruit is like, I don't know. That's kind of like come into the meal. But let's say they bring out strawberries, right? Strawberries is not something that you. It's part of the meal. Right? They bring out strawberries at the beginning of the meal. You make a Bar Piha Adama on the strawberries, even though you made hamotzi. Because it's not part of the meal. It's not there to satiate you. It's there to, you know, add something, you know, a nice appetizer is a nice way to begin the meal. Maybe we chat over strawberries.
You make a bracha on the dessert?
Yes. It's not dvarim babayim b'toch ha-suda. There are exceptions, right? On the dessert, like if it's mezonos. So traditionally, we don't make a bracha on mezonos. But if they give you strawberries at the end of the meal, right? Then you would make a bracha. Chocolate. Chocolate at the end of the meal as a dessert. You make a shahakal on chocolate.
So if you get a pie in dessert for dessert, you don't make a mezonos?
I don't. I think you can find people that do, but I wouldn't.
If you bench first, then it's a separate meal.
Oh, if you bench first, forget it. Yeah.
You have to bench first, because then you're forcing yourself to make that bracha for and you didn't.
I think you'd be allowed to bench. If you get confused, you don't have to. Say again? So is the mara part of the meal? So Tosa says the mara is part of the meal. What's his reasoning? He says, it's dvayim adbayim b'tocha suda machmas asuda sharei yirakot gorerin halev. He says, because you eat lettuce as part of the meal. It's the kind of thing you eat as part of the meal. V'karle nami lemara parperet apat. It's called parperet. V'chein amar b'ketzen mevarchen birach al apat patra ta parperet. Parperet haynu dvarim han mamshichim ha'achila. It's the kind of thing that helps you eat, right? Kigon dagim ktanim utmarim v'yarakos v'hi regilim la'ochlam b'tocha se'uda bein ma'achal la'ma'achal. So it's the kind of thing that you normally eat. U'lekach patra ta parperet l'vishabal l'tzorech sh'al yidei kach ochel yoser. It causes you to eat more. V'ein lomer de parperes haynu dover shabal la'fet et po'et apat. Okay, so Tosis is of the position that you would make a bracha on this maror, even if you weren't eating it b'tor maror. You would, if you were eating lettuce, you would make a bracha. That's true, if you were eating lettuce. But the question is, do you eat lettuce as a separate thing at the beginning of the meal? Just stam? So you can see why some people would disagree with this Tosis. And the poskim, some of the poskim disagree with this Tosis. They say either you should make a bracha adama, although I don't know anybody who does that. Or they say, no, it's the karpas. That's what people usually assume. That's the karpas that was motzi you. Right? As Mark said, that's why you don't make a bracha achrona on it. yeah. Okay, so we'll stop there in that tosos.
Is there a possibility that the fact that we have four cups of wine, each having their own bracha, could separate
right.
that into four different pots?
Excellent. So the four cups of wine and the brachas and four cups of wine is a huge question in the postgame. And the Sfaradim have one way of getting around it, which is they don't make a bracha on all the four cups. They only make a bracha on the first and the third. The first they make a bracha on because it's Kiddush, the first one. The second one they don't make a bracha on because there's no reason to make a bracha on it. You made it already. The third you make a bracha on because it's after benching. And the fourth you don't make a bracha on because you just did it already. We Ashkenazim make a bracha on all four. Why do we make a bracha on all four? So there's two main reasons you find in the Achronim and Magen Avraham versus the Taz. I forget which one is which. But the two main reasons you find, if I can remember correctly, number one, you have in mind when you make the Borei Pri HaGafen that you're not covering the next cup. Because you know that in the Seder you're supposed to drink four cups, and you're supposed to make a bracha on each one. So you have that in mind, right? It's a little bit circular, but that's one reason.
You have to actively have in mind?
No, we don't.
It's just assume that you have it in mind.
Yes, yes. Yes. It's similar to, for instance, when the Chazen, right, makes the bracha on Sfiras HaOmer in Shul, right? And then you go ahead and you make the same bracha again. Why do you do that? He just said it for you, right? You can even be yotze with his mitzvah, you can even yotze with his sfira, if you want to shomei ka'ona. But we don't, right? Because we all know that we do it by ourselves. The question is, why are we allowed to do it by ourselves? Because we have in mind not to be yotze with the chazan. Does anybody here actually have in mind not to be yotze with the chazan? Like consciously think when they hear the chazan, I'm not being yotze with you.
And
no,
and not to count the number when he's counting it.
Exactly. Does anybody have in mind to do that? No, but it's assumed. Basically, it's assumed and it's kind of undercurrent that I obviously don't have it in mind because I plan on doing it in 2 seconds by myself.
The Sfaradi way makes so much more sense. What was the Ashkenazi basis for making four brachas?
Maybe we turn drinks as well as the
So one answer is what I just said. The other answer, maybe there's three answers. I forget exactly.
Wasn't an answer that was kind of like a reason.
No, because each one is a mitzvah. Each one is a mitzvah. You want to make a bracha on each
one. Is a mitzvah?
You want to yes. Each one is a mitzvah.
So then, why then the Sfaradim make a bracha?
They don't agree.
The mitzvah is to make the cup of wine.
That's the only bracha you make.
The mitzvah is to drink four cups of wine or to make four brachas.
To drink four cups of wine.
That's the mitzvah.
But you want to make a bracha on the mitzvah.
Yeah, but is it one
mitzvah? What? You don't have to drink a whole glass.
Don't say that to Steve.
The other answer, by the way, is that no, there's hafsek. There's a hafsek in between because each one has a hafsek in between. Okay, now. Okay, let's jump ahead. So the bottom of the page. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Kol shetibula b'mashka tzarech netilas yadayim. Anything that you dip into water with your hands, right? Finger foods. Excuse me. You need to do netilas yadayim. Amar Rav Papa, shma mina, hay chasa tzarech lishkuye b'charoses mishum kafa. That's why you have to immerse the maror into the charoset, right? But why do you have to do that? Because of kappa. What's kappa? So Rashi says, eres shebechazeret, shasraf shebechazeret, yesh bo eres kederach habsalim. To put it in layman's terms, yeah, it has a charifut to it. It has some kind of sharpness or bitterness to it. It's going to hurt you. So we slip it in the charoset in order to water it down, so to speak, to mix a metaphor. He says, the whole reason why the Gemara is bringing this up is saying, this is proof that you don't just take, let's say, you don't just take the charoset, no, sorry, that you don't just eat the maror plain. Because if you eat the maror plain, then why are we washing our hands before we have the maror? Ah, wait, hold on one second. I think he's talking about the karpas. That's the reason why he's saying this. He's talking about the karpas, that's why. Right, he's talking about the karpas. Because the Gemara assumed earlier, by the way, that you were using maror for karpas, but that's neither here nor there right now. So they stick it into the karpas, sorry, into the charoset, and that's the proof that you need to wash your hands before doing that. Why are you washing your hands if you don't have to do that? Halo naga, you didn't touch it. By the way, this is a reason why for karpas, people, you know, some people who are a little bit delicate, so they use a fork, right, to dip it into the. That defeats the purpose, right? Why are you washing your hands if you're gonna use a fork in order to dip your? Oh, that's as good an answer as any. Right. So the children will ask, Abba, why are you using a fork if you wash your hands? And then you say exactly. So you say that's a good question. Let's move on. Lo tzarich lishkui netilas namali halo naga v'dil mele olam emelacha lo tzarich. Oh, so you'll say no, that's not it. Lo tzarich lishkui v'kafa marecha mayis. He says, really, you don't have to dip it in. And what does he say? The kappa dies. Yeah, it doesn't actually have to be dipped in because it only needs to basically be close to the charoset in order to take care of the whatever it is on the maror that's supposed to hurt you. So then the Gemara says, alalami nitiyas adayim. So then why do you wash your hands? Dilma mishka ulei. The only reason you wash your hands is because you might actually end up dipping it in. Okay. Now, why is this interesting? This whole washing our hands thing before dipping with our hands, right? So if you turn back the page to Amud Aleph from the Tosas on the bottom, Kol shetibula b'mashcha tzarich netila. Perish b'kutchus avagav d'kaimelan hanotal yad of the peris harez amigase aruach. Rashi said that a person who washes his hands before dipping fruit into liquid is arrogant. Migase aruach. That's basically fake piety. Fake piety, but I thought we have to. The Gemara just said that you have to. So why is Rashi saying that basically doing it is considered a form of hubris or arrogance? Right? That's what he's saying. It says, Kevin the Yika Mashkin, Mekai Milan, Kola Posilas Atruma, Mitame Mashkin, Liostrila Havalahu, Hanach Peros, Kemo Nahama. You know, this is a very long Tosa, so I'm going to just summarize the issue over here. All the Rishonim wonder about this. On the one hand, we have a halacha. The halacha is that you do need to wash your hands before you dip fruit into something. But 353 days of the Jewish calendar, we don't. Why is that?
We don't wash.
You're eating chips and salsa. You eat chips and salsa. You don't wash your hands before you eat chips and salsa. You eat, challah with hummus, you would wash your hands. But, not sure what else. What?
Cracker. Yeah.
Fine, yeah. Why don't we do it? And why? And then if we don't do it, then why do we do it on Seder night? Very good. So one way of answering this question is what the Taz says, which is, you're right, we should be washing our hands all year long. And in fact, that's what he says. He says, we should be washing our hands all year long. We're doing it wrong. And the Gra takes this the next step, and he says, in our family, we have a minhag that my wife started, that when we do urchatz, right, we go into the kitchen, we wash our hands, and then we all say, no bracha, no bracha, no bracha, no bracha, no bracha, no bracha, until we get back to our seat to make sure that nobody makes a bracha, right? The Vilna Gaon said,
make a bracha.
I did not make a bracha. This is Netil Sidayim Ki Elachato. You look in the Vilna Gaon, any Haggadah that mentions the Vilna Gaon, he made a bracha on Netil Sidayim for urchatz. Nobody else does, right? We don't. So how do we come up with an excuse for this? So the Netziv, in his Haggadah, he has a beautiful idea. He says there's a lot of minhagim, this is only one of them, which harken back to the time of the Beit HaMikdash. In Achinami, during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, of course, they used to wash their hands before they would eat fruit dipped in anything, because it really did carry tumah, because it was an issue of tumah. Nowadays, the only remnant we have of that is washing hands for bread. That's all we have now. But back in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, they did it. So the Netziv said, with a bracha, of course. So the Netziv says that there are a lot of minhagim on Seder night which harken back to minhagim of the Beis HaMikdash. Another example would be the kittel. He says, why do people wear a kittel? So he claims, there are other answers, but he claims that the reason why we wear a kittel is to be like almost like the Kohen, right? That he's wearing a special clothing like they used to do during the time of the Beit HaMikdash as part of the Avodah. There were other minhagim which I forget right now, but that's his explanation for this, which is a pretty popular explanation for why we do this.
In your
Hillel Sandwich specifically. What? Hillel, perfect. That was another one. Yeah.
Does everybody in your house tell us your time, or just the butler saying, the person saying that?
In my house, everybody goes into the kitchen and does it.
I saw in Hotscot it said just the.
Well, there's a question. There's almost everything in the Seder can be done by basically one person, and then everybody just kind of is. Carried. Yeah, although, we'll actually see a little bit of that.
Everybody's dipping the cup of the.
I mean, that was any of the person who would say they're washed.
None of you all used to do it, but I've seen as well that it's not like.
It seems, I think it depends on whatever your family did. Yeah.
Maybe it's anybody who's going to dip needs to make them take any tumor off their hands, because the problem was.
Makes sense. So. Okay, so now v'amar Rav Papa lo nishi inish mara b'charoses. Rav Papa says, "Be careful, don't leave too much charoses on the mara." Why? Guess why?
Different bracha.
Because no, that's not why.
What did you say?
Rav Papa says, "Lo nishi inish mara b'charoses."
Don't leave it.
Nishi, the hashot is to leave it on or to wait, right? Meaning, don't dip it in and then leave it all in the charoset. But he says, don't leave it on there. That's what he says. Lo nishi inish mara b'charoses. Why? Dilma agav chalya detavlin mevatalei limerure. Because it may end up being that basically it's not mara anymore. It's not mara, because basically all you're eating is apples, right? Shake it off, exactly. Shake it off. Ubin and tamar veleika. You need the time of the maror, and you won't have it. So that's what you do. You dip it in, and then you shake it off, right?
We have the stage here of eating the maror, yes?
Eating
the maror, yeah. Past the minna having.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, what stage are we at here?
Well, let's say maror.
Before you eat the maror.
Let's say maror.
Okay.
Maror.
So when you eat the maror, you put charoses in the maror.
You dip it in the charoses. And then you eat it. And then you wipe it off. And then you eat it.
Why do I remember just eating it raw with Jeremy?
Yeah. What, the mara? You've done the mara.
Yeah, I'm saying, what stage are we at? We're past eating the mara?
No, this is the mara. Yeah.
Oh, this is mara. So you
dip it in.
Is there a stage? I'm just trying
to. Without the charoset, just the mara.
Yeah, exactly. Almost.
I mean, there's no poison anymore. So it's less. You know, it's less necessary because the maror is. Although I will say, Michael, you can either confirm or not confirm this, but I know that I heard once in America that the two nights of the year, the two nights of the year when the most Jews show up in the hospital are Hanukkah from burns and Pesach from old people eating too much maror when they shouldn't. It's just right here. I don't know if it's true or not. What?
It's a gada. It's a gada. Pesach part is a gada.
Okay. So, Veleka, Adabre Rav Chisel or Avna Ukva, Vadarish, Notal Yado Betibul Rishon, Notal Yado Betibul Sheni. So he says, even though you wash your hands for the first time, you have to wash your hands for the second time. Amrua Rabbanu Kamedu Rav Papa, Haba'alma Itmar, Disagodaita Hacha Itmar, Lamini Tilas Adayim Chezimni. He's saying, why would you need, that was just stated in general. In other words, when you're at a meal, general, when you're at a meal, you washed your hands, and then you dipped, and then you ate. And then they brought out the meat, and then you ate that. And then they brought out some more fruit to be dipped. You wash your hands again. That's what Rav Ukva meant. That's what the Gemara says. Because here, diachet merlamelina tiyazadayim treizimni hamasha leyadei chadazimna. Why do you need to wash your hands? You just washed your hands for the bread. You just washed your hands for matzah. Why do you need to wash your hands again for the fruit? Amar Rav Papa. I meant you washed your hands for karpas. That's what he's pointing out. The Gemara is saying over here, surely you don't need to see that I did surely. Surely you don't have to wash your hands for the maror and for the matzah for that matter, because you already washed your hands for the karpas. Right? So the Gemara says, no, that's not true, because you have the whole Haggadah in between. And who knows what you've been doing during the Haggadah? You could have been touching your feet, you could have been touching, you know, a part of your body that's uncovered, that's normally covered, you could be scratching your hair, you could be doing anything. You might have touched something you shouldn't have touched, and now you have to wash your hands again. Okay, now everybody back in. If you swallow matzah without chewing it, you're yotzei. If you swallow mara without chewing it, you're not yotzei.
So that also lends itself back to what we said before about whether you can combine the two mitzvahs in the bottom, because you don't actually need to taste the. There's no meaning of overpowering the matzah if you don't have to actually taste it.
It certainly sounds from here that you don't have to taste it, right? Because it says bala matzah yotzei, bala mara lo yotzei, bala matzah umara yedei matzah yotzei, yedei mara lo yotzei. If you swallow them both at the same time, then. Basically, A, B, C, you are yotzei the matzah because you swallowed it, it's fine. You are not yotzei the maror because you only swallowed it and you didn't chew it. Karchan besiv ubla'an. But what happens if you encapsulate the maror and the matzah, right? So that neither one is touching your throat and you just swallow that. Afi de matzah nami lo yotzei. In that situation, not even yotzei matzah. If you've covered the matzah in something so that it's not, you know, touching your throat on the way down, then you're not even yotzei matzah.
Can I ask a practical question? I mean, obviously we're speaking right now about the maror. You have to feel the maror.
Well, he's saying the Gemara says you have to even taste the maror.
You have to taste the maror.
Yeah.
Whatever. Firstly, how much is the shear that you have to have? What is the...
A kezayit.
A kezayit.
Let's say one leaf. One of the big leaves. One of the leaves. That's the answer.
Of lettuce.
Yes.
But you shove lots of mara in it. It's tradition, sorry. Danny, it's tradition. Nothing to do with halacha, just tradition.
We're not talking about lettuce, right?
No, we are.
Talking about lettuce.
That's what he's saying.
Talking about the lettuce.
It's not just the white stick, you can have the lettuce.
The mara lettuce. That's what I'm talking about.
If you have the white.
Look, there's a... There's a couple of problems with the horse lettuce.
Using chrein.
I'll just say a minute. If there's a couple of problems with the chrein. One problem with the chrein is exactly what Ellie's referring to right now. How are you going to eat a kezayis of chrein? That's one problem.
You don't get up.
The other problem is it's wrong. But that's a separate problem.
Why is it wrong? Why is it wrong?
Should have the lettuce.
Look, I'm a YU guy. So. I will break it down again. There's two reasons that I know why it's wrong. One is that it's a root and not a leaf. It's meant to be a vegetable, not a root. Chrein is a root.
Chrein is root. Carrots aren't vegetables?
Those are vegetables, but they're not bitter.
I'm saying, but hang on, you didn't say it. You said it's a root.
No, it should not be a root. It should be a vegetable. You want to use a potato or a carrot for mara?
No,
so the problem is not that they're roots, the problem is that they're not bitter.
I understand, but why is it a problem that it's a root?
Because it's not the right species.
Okay.
Supposed to be a vegetable. The other problem is that chrein is, and this you'll either believe or you won't, chrein is sharp, it's not bitter. Mara is meant to be bitter.
It's American English.
You know the difference between sharp and bitter is.
Yes, when your wife is telling you off, she's being sharp, she's not being bitter.
She might be being bitter. And that's aside from just the simple botanist trying to figure out what chasa is. It did. There was more than just that there was no green leaves. There was also no way to check them. There were a few issues. One was that there wasn't readily available. The other was that it was very hard to check and make sure that there were no bugs. So he decided that, we're going to eat maror, right? But we're going to be over on eating shrutzen, right? That's going to be a problem. So they started eating horseradish. The problem with horseradish was that, one, it's wrong. Number two, you can't eat enough.
But surely it's in the spirit of what we're trying to experience.
Surely.
I will be honest. I always put some mora in my korech.
You mean some horseradish for you, man?
You're right. I always put some horseradish in my korech. In my korech. But again, I also eat korech differently than other people do, which is like what Rosh Halevich used to do, which is that I wrap the matzah inside the leaf.
And then swallow it.
That's very clever for a number
of reasons. And then put it in a capsule. And
it doesn't fall apart nearly as much as I do when you wrap the leaf in the matzah.
That's a little bad idea.
Doesn't
it? There's a lot of chukma there.
What do you mean?
You're not meant to be in pain.
What do you mean? I do have some of it just for fun. I have some of it for fun.
No, just like you also it is.
Who says?
Why is that inside out?
Who says? Because some guy, some earl in whatever, came up with the idea that you have to make a sandwich with bread. Who says?
Lettuce starts off sweet.
No, it's the opposite.
Bitter.
Correct. That's the chazish. Because none of you actually asked me. Why didn't anybody ask me, is lettuce bitter? Because it's not, right? So the Chazish explains that if you leave it, then it will become bitter, and that's good enough.
Up to 6 weeks.
I don't know how long. No. Not leave it like in your fridge. Like let it grow more. Like let it grow longer. Like let it grow longer.
And it turns green. And
okay. The Balamatsa Marabana. Right. So if you encapsulate it and you swallow it, that's not going to work for anything. Okay. Amar Rav Shimi Barashi, matzah lifnei kol echad ve'echad. So here, the Gemara says that matzah has to be in front of everybody. You have to have matzah in front of every single person. Maror lifnei kol echad ve'echad. Also, you have to have maror in front of everybody. V'charoses lifnei kol echad ve'echad. Everybody has to have their own portion of charoses. Ve'in okrenes ha'shulchan ela lifnei mi sha'omer ha'gada. However, you remove the table from in front of the person eating, reciting the Haggadah. There's a lot of things going on over here. Number one, what's going on over here is that every single person has their own miniature table. That's just the way they did it. Every single person had their own miniature table. Number two, there was only one person reading the Haggadah. Right? Lifnei Misha Omer Haggadah. Ravuna Omer Kulo Nami Lifnei Misha Omer Haggadah. You say, you also remove from in front of the, right? That's what he's saying. You also remove in front of the of everybody. Is that what he's saying? No. So the opposite. Rav Huna says no. Only that person has it in front of him. Nobody else has matzah or maror or charoset in front of them. There's only one person. The Baal HaSeder is doing everything, and nobody else is doing anything. Basically, at this point, v'hilchasa k'Rav Huna. Rav Huna is right. Lam, and so Rav Huna is right. It's, everything is supposed to be in front of one person. What that really means practically is that there's only one ka'ara. That's what it really means. Which is true. That's what we have nowadays. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that nowadays we have one big table as opposed to many, as the Gemara says. Lama okrin ke'es ha'shulchan. Why do you remove the table? Amar d'vei Rav Yonai k'dei she'akiru tinokos. There you go, Mark. So that the children will notice and they'll ask, why did we remove the ka'ara? So this one actually makes sense. Right? The one where they say that kids will ask because they can actually ask and then we can start talking. Right? When you remove the car and the kids say, hey, where are you going? And then we explain, oh, we're going to do something else now. Because it's not a normal thing to do during the meal. Now, I think Tots is over here. I think. Yeah, if you look at Lama Okren Es HaShulchan, Tots, the second to last Tots on the bottom. Lama Okren Es HaShulchan, Dafka Shalahen, Shehen Ketanim. Because they had small tables. in front of each person. We don't remove the table because who's going to take the table out of the room? We just remove the ka'ara. We put on the side. Okay, so other things, but basically what we do is we remove the ka'ara as opposed to removing the entire table. Okay. We take it off the table at the beginning, right before Magid.
Take it off the table?
Yeah,
that?
That's what you're supposed to do. That's what he says.
And then there's also a part which is you bring it back to the table and you realize you never took it off in the first place. Yeah.
That's what normally happens. Normally, exactly. You get to the part of the Haggadah that says, return the guy.
We always catch the second instruction. Put down the mats that you forgot to pick up.
That's why you really have to put a woman in charge of it, actually. That's why I give my wife the halacha Haganah. I say Sonia's in charge. Whatever she says, we do, and then things go smoothly. Because
the seder plate is removed in the second of the four cups of wine is poured.
Before Maggie. There you go.
To make room for the egg soup.
Seriously, I've never done that.
There you go. It's a good thing we're learning this. One second. You'll still forget. You'll still forget. By the way, Mark, for you, the bottom tosos, Kadesh Yakir HaTinok V'Yishal, Klomar, Mitoch Kach, Yavol Yishal, B'Shar Dvarim. And then he starts to ask the questions. That's not going to take care of all the questions. We have to read the rest of the Gemara. Take a look at what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Kadesh Yakir HaTinokos V'Yishalu, Abaye have a Yosef Kami de Rava. He was sitting in front of his teacher Rabba. Chazed the Kamadli Tachamikame. He saw that he took the table away. Amelu Adayin Lo Kachlinan. We didn't eat yet. Atu Kama Akre. Abaye was worried. Abaye
hungry.
We're taking the food, right? Mikman Amar Le Rabba Patarta Milomar Manishtana. It's a weird line in the Gemara. It says now we don't have to say Manishtana because you already asked a good question. No. A lot of the Rishonim actually take this line out. They say, no, that's not how it works. You don't actually get pater, and that's what Tosa says over here, right? Tosa says on the bottom, he asked other questions. That's what the Gemara means. Abaye asked this question, then he asked that question, and that's what it means that he said, you're pater for Manishtana. It's not good enough to just take away the table and then kids say, hey, where are you going? And then, okay, fine, so let's skip the whole Manishtana process. We don't do that. Okay, now let's go. Amar Shmuel. Lechem oni. The pasuk says, "Lo tochal alav chamid shivas yam tochal alav matzos lechem oni." Right, that's what how it refers to the matzah. Lechem shaoni alav dvarim. The classic explanation is that lechem oni refers to it's a play on words on oni. What does it mean? Oni means
poverty,
right, or affliction, right? So it says, "No lechem shaoni alav dvarim harbe." You talk about it. But another explanation is lechem oni aniksiv ma ani shadarka b'prusa af kan b'prusa. What does that mean? What's the other drasha that they make from it, which is also lahalacha lamaisa? What's darko sha'ani b'prusa? You break it yachatz, right? That's why we break it. We do yachatz in order to fulfill the lechem ani, that it should be a poor man's bread. Davar acher ma darko shel ani hu masik v'ish ta'ofe af kan nami hu masik v'ish ta'ofe. What does that mean? So he gets he heats up the oven and his wife bakes. So over here also he heats up the oven and his wife bakes. Most of us don't make our own matzah anymore. So, but the idea is that they want to do fast baking, the ani. So they're both working on it together. So over here also with the matzah, we also do a fast baking. You get two people working together. Now take a look at the top toasters over here.
Is they ani or that the matzah is ani because you did it so quickly?
It's like the way that the aniim make matzah. They make matzah in a very fast way, working together in tandem. So we also make the matzah in a very fast way.
Fast because they're hungry. Fast.
For us, fast because we want to make sure it doesn't become chametz. Basically, it's reading lechem oni as fast bread. Now take a look at the top toasters. This is very important. Ma darko shaloni b'prusa. It would seem that when you make the hamotzi, it should be made on the broken bread. This is the other thing, by the way, that we also, we get to that part of the Haggadah and we realize that we did something wrong 20 minutes ago. What happens? You get to the part where, and sometimes you've already washed.
Yeah.
You're sitting there and you're reading them. You're trying to figure out from the Haggadah what it is that you're supposed to be doing right now. And then you realize, wait a second, I didn't put the matzah in the middle and I didn't put the one over there, right? So what are you supposed to do? So Tosa says, so first of all, you're supposed to make hamotzi on the prusa. Now, what's the problem with making hamotzi on the prusa?
Which prusa?
Whichever one you still got. The other one was stolen. The other one is stolen. So you have a prusa. What's the problem with making a hamotzi on the prusa? It's broken. So what's the problem with that? You need lechem mishnah, right? What?
You've got two others, but you're not making it on that.
You've got two and a half.
Oh, so we have three matzahs, right? Who didn't have three matzahs?
I think we're good with that.
The Rambam. And the Temanim. The Rambam did not have three matzahs. He only had two. He had only two matzahs at his Seder, the Rambam. But we all have three matzahs. Why do we have three matzahs? Like you said. Because you want to have lechem mishnah.
The Rambam doesn't need lechem mishnah.
That's a good question. You're supposed to have a prusa between the shlemos. The bracha that you make on the achilas matzah, right, is on the. It's got to be on the. But the al achilas matzah has to be on the prusa, right? So you make these two brachos. Your prusa has to be there because that's the matzah that you're making the al achilas matzah on. That's the lechemoni, right?
No, sorry.
When you make a al achilas matzah,
yeah.
Which one of the three matzahs are you having in mind?
Yeah, you're saying the prusa, but actually, but he's starting off by saying unless you've got the two, you can't say the bracha.
Right, so you make two brachos.
You make two brachos.
Exactly. You make two brachos when you eat matzah, right? You make a motzi, and you make an achilas matzah. And the motzi can be on whatever you want. But the achilas matzah has to be on the prusa, right? So, and you should be eating whatever you made the hamotzi on, right? In other words, prusa wasn't there when you made the hamotzi, that's what I'm talking about. When you start having to rifle through the Haggadah trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing, you have to make sure that the prusa was in there. No, both pieces. You tell them, bring me back one of the pieces. You say, give me the piece, I need it. No, you say, give me the piece, I need it. What? Having washed, you say, give me the piece, I need it. My wife's grandfather had the minhag, basically. That whenever he would wash, Alav Hashalom, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, every time he would wash, he'd sit down and then he'd say, Melach, Melach. Because the Gemara Brachos says that you can say Melach in order. Now, the salt was always right in front of him. It was right there. He would just say, Melach, Melach. And then someone would like point, like, it's right in front of you. But he just liked to do it because
he could.
Gemara said he could. So he did. You leave it in between the two shleimas. So it's clear that you're botzea, right? You're making the hamotzi and breaking the full ones. That's talking about the hamotzi. On Shabbos, you have to have two, right? You have to have two chalas for lechem mishnah. Shneimar lachtu lechem mishnah. Viker Mil say the Rav Chia Baraba Perkokis Fedas and Shabbos Ela Lahachi Maisi Hasamachar Pesach Lomer Shetzarich Sham Matzah Shlishis Mishum Lechem Mishnah. There it is in Tosfos. You need a third lechem because of lechem Mishnah. V'chayav Livtzol Shteki Kars Bein B'Shabbos Bein B'Yom Tov, because you need lechem Mishnah for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. Dilavachi Lamehevi Sham Milsa the Rav Chia, because otherwise, why is the Gemara bringing up Rav Chia? Okay, that's an involved thing. And the Rif also agrees with this. Oh, so here's the thing. Why do you need Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov? Why do you need Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos?
Because
of the man, right? Zecher Leman. Why would you need Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov? Zecher Leman, right? Lefisha Mishnah Yored Be'arve Yom Tovim. But he says, but wait a second, I don't understand. V'kashe, shana mispalelim ba'ata kidashtu beirachtu mikol hayamim. That's what we say on Shabbos. V'kidashto mikol hazmanim, and you made it different from all the times. V'amar b'man bercho b'man kedsho. It was special because of the man. Shabbos is special because of the man. Mashma, b'yom tov, chaya man yored. There was man on Yom Tov. The man didn't fall double on Erev Yom Tov. Why should it fall Erev double on Erev Yom Tov? Why did Hashem not have the man fall on Shabbos? Because he didn't want... Well, you didn't have to cook the man. Didn't want you to go out and collect the man and then bring it home. That's what it says in the Chumash. It says, don't do that. Don't go out. Don't go out and collect the man. But Yom Tov...
No problem.
You're allowed to carry... on Yom Tov for Ochel Nefesh. You'll have to do whatever you want for food. You can murder for food on Yom Tov, right? That's a joke.
That was a joke.
So, V'chein haya noeg harav menacham miyuni v'harav Yom Tov she'im uvarchen hakol ala prusa, like the Rambam, that they said, you don't need lechem mishnah on Yom Tov. You don't need lechem mishnah. Riyayim uvarcham motzi ala shlema v'hadra achilas matza ala prusa. You need a shalem, right? Somebody might ask, why do you need even two, right? Mm-hmm. So the answer to that is because there's always, this is also a lesson, no? There's always a mitzvah to make a bracha on a shalem. Whenever you make bracha on bread, you're meant to do it on a full piece. Now, sometimes it's impossible, right? You're eating a sandwich, right? Sometimes, holy bagel, they cut the bagel for you already. Lichat chila, however, if you were sitting there with a bagel that hadn't been toasted, hadn't been cut, whatever, you should make the bracha on the whole bagel, take a bite, and then cut it. You're supposed to make a bracha on a full prusa. That's why you need bichlal the shalem, because you might say you only need the prusa. So you say you have a shalem and a prusa. But he says, but we don't do that. We have three. The Rambam didn't, and some of the Bali Tosas didn't. Right? Others say the reason why the Rambam didn't wasn't because he didn't think you needed lechem mishnah, but rather it was because he felt that on Pesach Davka, the Prusa takes on a chashivus, takes on importance, that it's like a shalem. There's precedence, right? Rasmus talks about this. There's precedence for this. On Yom Tov, a lot of things change. A lot of things are different than they are during the week. I'll give you, for instance, Rav Shachter likes to quote that there's a Taz who says that... you're supposed to have a kezias. You're supposed to have a kezias of bread, right, at the Shabbos meal, or bechlal. You're supposed to have a kezias of bread at the Shabbos meal, so that you can make a, so you can bench, right? But there's a taz that says you don't need to. It says because it's a Shabbos meal, it's automatically a seuda. Doesn't matter how much bread you have, it's automatically a seuda because there's a mitzvah to have a seuda on Shabbos. So he says, it doesn't matter how much bread you have, it's mitzvah, whatever, even if you have a tiny little bit, it's mitzvah for the rest of the food to become a seuda. Because you have to have a seuda on Shabbos. So you don't need to eat a kezias of bread according to the Taz.
I didn't understand what you said there, because I lost you.
I didn't know.
For Shabbat, we need two.
I'm talking about making it about benching, right?
So, you said, how did you get to Yom Tov that we need two?
Well, you can disagree. Basically, the concept of whether the man fell on Yom Tov is a machlokas rishonim. Tosus assumes that it didn't, but a lot of the Rishonim assume that it did.
They assume
that Shabbos is just like Yom Tov. That's why we have like a Mishnah on Yom Tov.
Why do they assume that Yom Tov is like Shabbos?
Well, let me ask you something. On Sukkot night, how many challahs do you eat?
Two.
Two. Why? Not anymore. There would be no reason to have two challahs on Sukkot
night. Unless first night Sukkot is to Shabbos.
Fine.
Okay, go on.
Obviously,
that's not the reason.
Somewhere in your psyche,
yeah,
you're assuming that the man did not fall on Yom Tov. No, I'm saying there are many. There are competing midrashim. They're competing midrashim. Competing midrashim.
Ah, so the midrashim to say that it did fall on Yom Tov.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So they did not fall on Yom Tov. Right.
Right.
Now, Steve, the only point I was making was that if you assume, right. Yeah.
I've got a crazy son-in-law.
But
is he Sephardi? Yeah.
No.
Temani?
He's Ashkenazi. He's Australian.
Well, that explains it.
That's because in Australia we don't have any thieves that steal the third matzah.
He goes like the Rambam.
He's Jewish.
He follows the Rambam. He said he follows the Rambam?
He's food down the water.
Right? Okay.
No criminals.
The water again.
There are a lot of people on Facebook doing that now.
Following the Rambam?
Facebook or Rebbe. No, the guy eating kidney. Eating kidney. And the Ashkenaz.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is that going to happen?
What? What, when Eliyahu Hanavi comes around, is he going to move out of Kidneys? I don't know.
Rabbi with broad enough shoulders is going to come along don't and know. Say, this is good.
No, I hope not. I don't think so. I don't think so. You know what the Rama says? Whatever.
You remembered it.
No, I can look it up in the Rama.
Does the Rama say?
The Rama is very big on these kinds of minhagim. Let's just say that. Anyways.
So he would hold, we should definitely have horse radish on as Amar.
We should have what?
Yeah, because
he's big on horse radish. Right,
no.
He would hold that we should be Davin Ashkenaz's shifte.
I think 90% of shifte holds that. It's just, yeah, okay.
Moving on.
I did my bit with the Bamei Madlikin that Friday night.
You also did your bit with Amalek.
What did I do with Amalek?
Not reading it twice.
But you're being recorded.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what happened with that. No, he's saying we didn't read Zecher twice because Rabbi Beller is adamant that we don't.
I was at a shul where they laid it five times, and they said they normally do seven.
Yeah, you could do more even. Yeah, it's like tittus. You multiply like every single type.
You don't get a bar mitzvah boy to
read. 83.
Which was a bit of a problem. Yeah?
Yeah.
We had a
bar
mitzvah
boy. That can get awkward. Ava b'shein charos is mitzvah. So his charos is a mitzvah. So you missed the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was wondering whether or not charos itself is a mitzvah. So v'ilo mitzvah mishum mai maisila. If it's not a mitzvah, why do we have it on the table? So, I mean, the easy answer to that is it tastes really good, right? I mean, Amar Avami Mishum Kafa. We need it. We need it to take care of the Mara, remember? There's something wrong with the Mara. Amar Avasi Kafa Dechasa Chama. Kafa Dechama Karsi. It's a thing that you're. He's telling you the antidote for the Chasa, that's the Mara, is. Chama is a radish, okay? And the kafa de chama karti, he's telling you what you should, he's giving you advice. What you should eat with radish, you should eat leek. Kapa de karte chamimi, the kapa of leek is to drink hot water. Okay. Kapa de kulu chamimi, and then you should have hot water. Okay. You know what? And then there's this incantation, we're going to skip past that. Oh, I wanted to do this. This is going to be fun to bring up at the Seder table. Jump ahead to the next two dots. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, mitzvah. My mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? Rabbi Levi, Omer, zecher le? There's two dots over there.
Can you put your finger on your gemara?
Rabbi Lazi, Rabbi Yitzhak. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. No, before the Mishnah still.
Okay.
Right before the Mishnah. The two dots above the Mishnah.
Opposite Rabbeinu Hanan on the top.
Opposite Rabbeinu Hanan on the left-hand side.
Yeah. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer Mitzvah. My Mitzvah, Rabbi Levi Omer Zecher LeTapuach. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Zecher LeTit. What are they referring to? So Rabbi Levi says Zecher LeTapuach. What does Rashi say? Zecher LeTapuach. Shayu Yoldos B'nei'en Sham Belo Etzev. Shalo Yakir Behen Mitzriyim. Techtiv Tachat HaTapuach Or Eticha. Based on the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, the Medrash says that in Mitzrayim, the women perpetuated the Bnei Yisrael because the men... they didn't have a libido. They were tired. They were depressed. They weren't interested in procreating or anything like that. But the women used to get dressed up, and they used to seduce the men. The whole thing about the mirrors, right, at the Mishkan, that Moshe didn't want to take the mirrors, and Hashem should take the mirrors. So part of that whole story is that they would take them under the tapuach tree, and that's where they would do peruvu. Okay, interesting thing. That's the imagery that you get from Shir Hashem. So zecha to that. So we have charoset with tapuach. No, I have deliberately not translated the word tapuach, and I'm not going to for another minute. Then there's another position, which is zecher latit. What's zecher latit? That's for the mortar, exactly. What's the mortar over here?
Brick.
This is the brick. This is the other side. In other words, they're actually arguing about whether charos is a good thing or is a nice thing or a not nice thing, right? First one is definitely nice. Second one is it's a zecher, it's an extra zecher to our slavery, right? Zecher latit. Amar Rabbi, hilkach tzarech likuye, v'tzarech lismuche. You have to make it tart, l'kahuye, and you have to make it thick, l'samuche, right? L'kahuye, zecher l'tapuach. It should be tart, like a tapuach, And it has to be thick like the mortar. Okay? That's how it should be painted. There's one brisa that corresponds to Rav Yochanan said, who said it should be like the tit, who said it should be zecher leteven, which is very similar to the tit. The tavlin should be zecher leteven, and the charoset should be zecher letit. So they used to say that the vendors in Yerushalayim, right before Pesach, they would say, come and take for yourselves spices for the mitzvah of charoset. Okay, now let's take a step back to the tapuach. It's not Tosos here, I think. Rav Shachter loves to quote, it's in the Sefer Be'ikve Yatzon. What is a tapuach? So nowadays, what's a tapuach? Apple, right? So you can find the Tosos, I forget now where the Tosos is, where Tosos says it was not an apple. They didn't have apples.
Wheat? Figs.
It was an etrog. Mm-hmm. It was like, an etrog. Like a tapuach is an etrog. What? Exactly. Which makes a lot of sense because the, right, and by the way, this probably ties into the whole Christian concept of the fruit being an apple, right? We know that there were four, that the Gemara in Brachos identifies the fruit of Gan Eden in four different ways. Either that it was an etrog, chita, tamar, or an apple, or a grape, right?
Wasn't figs in there somewhere?
I thought a fig.
Tamar. Tena, which is a fig. So those are the four options, and nowhere in there is the apple, right? But, by the way, there is a Rashi on the Chumash that says that when Yitzchak, right, was waiting for Esav, and then Yaakov came in instead, Rashi says that Yitzchak became very excited because when Yaakov came in, he smelled Recha Sadeh. I think it says Tapuach. I don't exactly remember. Maybe I'm misquoting now, and maybe I fooled myself. No, I'll tell you why I think. I'll tell you why I think that. I'll tell you what's going on. It doesn't say Tapuach. It says Recha Sadeh. However, Rav Moshe Sternbach says, from here comes the minhag of eating an apple in Rosh Hashanah, because he says that was Rosh Hashanah. And so we eat it, it's very convoluted, but he says, based on the Gra, that that's where the minhag comes from. Now, that makes sense if the smell of the sadeh was, right, but then things got confused, because then it became an apple, and then people got confused about what exactly it was. Either way, what we should be really doing is we should make charoset out of etrog. Or at least the citrus fruits, because by the way, there are apples that are tart, but that's not really...
What do you mean tart? I don't understand. There are apples that are tart?
So there aren't that many, right? There aren't many apples that are tart. Well, tart is citrusy, no? Tart is...
Green apples.
Do you think green apples? Exactly. Granny Smith's.
Sure? Yeah, consider that tart?
I didn't understand.
Is that peaty?
We have a different connotation for that, which actually affiliates to the idea of the apple. But
I
don't think that's what you mean.
What?
What's
no.
Mean,
no, that's not what I mean.
Right, but we're talking about that just. Sure, that's not.
So either way, Tosos identifies them that way. Tosos identifies them as etrog, not over here, but elsewhere. And Rav Shachter likes to quote that one. I don't know what he makes his charoset with. He tends to go, you know, all the way, so I wouldn't be surprised. But he is adamant about that. Most guys in YU know that. That's his position.
Is this Gemara telling us that the concept is the mixture of the hard work and the mixture of the sweetness of the?
You know, it's very tempting to say that because it mentions them both. The only issue I have is that it almost sounds like they're mutually exclusive, even though we do both. Because the Gemara attempts to say Tanika. Well, you know what? It doesn't really say that they're mutually exclusive. It just brings a brisa in support of Rav Yochanan. But it certainly seems to be like both. Say again? I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody. But that doesn't mean they don't exist. Right. Right. And you can get it anyways. You can get a tart apple, and you could be yotze with that, because it's not, it's the same flavor.
You've got to think back to the time when there was no image in the adult, when people had to...
Get a tart apple.
Was that link to the hard work?
As you put it.
You're saying where the minhagim are with much more. Our satyrs are so busy. They're so busy. They're so.
Big printing.
Yeah. Okay, now we get to the actual text of the Haggadah. You ready? Mishnisen. Mazgulokos Sheni. We're not going to talk about it, Steve. I haven't prepared that piece. Remember, we've talked a few times about wine and how it works. I sent Steve, I don't know if I sent everybody, an article in the Sfarim blog, which is like a scholarly blog where Mamish, like page after page of exactly that question of what was the deal with wine in that time. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. What we're talking about is that all rabbis say that the wine nowadays is more diluted than it was then, right? So is that true, or is there some other explanation for what's going on? Because over here, mazgulo kosheni, what does that mean? Well, this is for sure true. They used to carry around concentrate of wine, and then when they wanted to drink it, they would pour water in it. And that's how they would make wine. So mazgulo kosheni, they would make themselves a concoction of wine. V'kana ben shuel aviv, v'yimin das b'ben aviv melamdo. Now the son asks the question. If the son isn't old enough, so the father teaches him. Manishtana alayla zeh mikol alaylos, shebekol alaylos anuach in chamitzu matzah. Alayla zeh kulo matzah, shebekol alaylos anuach in shari yorakos. Alayla zeh maror, shebekol alaylos anuach in basar tzali shaluk umavushal. That one we don't say, because we don't eat the korban pesach anymore. Alayla zeh kulot tzali, shebekolot tzali. We eat only roasted. By the way, that's important because it goes into the machlokas about whether the chagiga carried the same halacha as the korban pesach. Because the question over here is, Amba, why every other night we eat roasted and boiled, and tonight we only eat roasted? But is that really true? Because you could have had the chagiga boiled. The chagiga was the korban that you brought along with the korban pesach. In fact, the chagiga was the afikomen.
Yeah.
Right. That was what was used. What did I say? Oh, you're right. Right. The chagiga was the main course. The korban pesach is no. The korban pesach is the main course.
Yeah. Yes.
No, the korban pesach is what you ate with the matzah and the maror. And the komen was what you ended
with.
No, so that's the machlok. The machlok is whether or not it was sli for both of them.
You could have had the chagiga. You said you could have had the chagiga.
What?
The Rambam says
that
you ate a bit of
korban
pesach with the matzah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
You ate your chagiga, and then you ate
your korban pesach with the matzah. Right. Everybody had to have a little bit. Yeah, there wasn't enough.
You had enough to go around.
There wasn't enough korban pesach to go around, so it couldn't have been the main meal. We're all confused.
Which then the chagiga could have been boiled.
Right. So some of the Rishonim say, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that we only eat sli tonight. So if you take that literally, it means that the chagiga had to be also only roasted. It couldn't be boiled. No, you could take it not literally and say, no, the kid's only talking about that piece of meat that's only boiled. It's only roasted.
I thought
afikomen
is chagiga.
The afikomen, no, the chagiga is for the meal because there was enough for everybody.
No, you're meant to eat the chagiga ala sof. You're not meant to eat
the korban pesach.
The last thing you can't be mafutzatz when you eat the afikomen. Yeah. You can't be like bloated. You have to be able to eat it because it's like the.
But you're supposed to be full. You're supposed to be full.
But the korban.
That's ala sof.
The last taste was the korban pesach.
Sure. Yes, definitely.
So. Simon last year. Simon denied the korban pesach last year.
The wrong side of the.
We don't do tevila stam. Halayla zeh shtei pa'amim. Lefi da'ato shel ben aviv melamdo, matchil begnut, umesayim b'shvach, v'doresh ma'arim oved avi, ad shigmar kol parsha kula. So he has that rule of matchil begnut, umesayim b'shvach, right, which Rabbi Herman talked about on Shabbos, for those of you who were there at Shal Shittis. The Gemara, we'll get into the machlokas, we probably won't have time for it. Get into the machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, about what it means to be matchil begnut, right? There are two options. What are the two options? Rabbi Herman said this on Shabbos. Either at Avadim Hayinu or Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, right? One of them being a physical gnus, right, of Avadim Hayinu, and the other being a spiritual one of Mitchila Hayu Avoseinu Hayu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And Rav and Shmuel argue about, or they seem to argue about whether, or about which one is you're supposed to start
exclusive.
With. Right, it's not clear if it's mutually exclusive or whether it's just a matter of which one's more important or which one you start with. Either way, we know what we do.
Yeah.
And then Dorish Merari Arami Oved Avi Ad Shigemar Kol Parsha Kula. Very interesting thing, Arami Oved Avi. First of all, it seems to have nothing to do with Pesach. Second of all, Arami Oved Avi, we actually do say that at a different point of the year. It's Mikra Bikurim. It's literally what you recite out loud when you do the Bikurim. Exactly. It's the it's not the Vidui.
Why is it called?
It's not called Vidui. That's Mikra Bikurim. Vidui Meiser is something else. And it's, and the Torah doesn't call it Vidui Meiser. The Rishonim call it Vidui Meiser. But Mikra Bikurim is when you bring the Bikurim, you say, you start to declare Arami Oved Avi, right? And that's what you say. So we, and then we recite it at the Pesach Seder. So the simple explanation is that they're both a form of chuda'ah. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to thank God. They tried to kill us, as they say.
They didn't.
They lost. We won. Let's see.
Right? What does Lavan have to do exactly? If you assume that Arami is Lavan, right? So what is Lavan, which the Haggadah does? The Baal Haggadah does. What?
That's Chad's strategy.
He did, but what does he have to do with anything?
He's asking a question.
The Haggadah says, Arami Oved Avi, Lavan was worse than Paro because Lavan tried to kill us all and Paro only tried to kill the boys. Why are we bringing up Lavan at all? So one simple pshat explanation is that the Gemara actually says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially planned to send us into slavery in Aram. Mm-hmm. And then he saw how bad Lavan was and he said, Lavan's going to kill you all. You're never going to get out of there. And so he switched, he moved this over to Mitzrayim, which was less bad. Right, that's Alpi Pshat Drash, meaning Alpi the Gemara, that's probably what it means. Well, I'll tell you another nice thing about line, what does it mean, Vikesh Lavan Lakos HaKol? So Rav Rasner quoted, he didn't say who said it, but he said that, what does it mean that Lavan, Vikesh Lavan Lakos HaKol? So, obviously the simplest explanation is that Lavan was planning to kill Yaakov, and that would have done, you know, ruined everything. But they say that initially, even before that, when Avram sent Eliezer, Eved Avram, right, to go get a wife for Yitzchak. So the halacha is, this is pure of Rasner, the halacha is that if a man sends a shaliach to be mekadesh a woman for him, and then something happens to the shaliach on the way, and you don't know whether or not the shaliach was successful, the man can now never get married. Because it could be that he's marrying the sister of the woman that the shaliach betrothed him to. Which is good advice, not to betroth anybody using a shaliach. Right? What did Lavan do? Lavan tried to kill Eliezer. What would that do? It would mean that Yitzchak could never marry anybody.
Eliezer wasn't the Kaddish.
But you don't know. You wouldn't have known.
And Eliezer wasn't going. The only excuse for that was that he had to go outside of that.
That opens up another can of worms, which attacks the very premise of the question.
Just quite ironic given what happened in the next generation.
He married his daughters. Right. He married his sister. Yeah, that's true.
That was okay.
That's true. Right. It requires a leap of accepting. It's a nice fort. It's a nice fort.
Eliezer also could have inherited the whole house.
Domestic Eliezer. That was what his plan. That's what he wanted, yeah. That's what the shalshalot over there is.
Yitzchak couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. That was the excuse for sending Eliezer, I think.
Right.
Abraham could have gone?
No, it's his mitzvah. But he has some of the shalot.
So we'll go a little bit further. We have hold on to you guys for a few more minutes. The Gemara says, I know that this is very different than what we normally do. We usually delve into one specific topic, but I figured bring up a lot of, do a little bit of threshing. Yeah. Tana Rabbanan Chacham Beno Shalo, Vim Eino Chacham, Ishto Shalto. if he has a boy who's able to, you know, ask good questions, so he asks, and if not, then the wife asks. V'imlav, who shall that talk? And if there's nobody else there, he asks himself. And even if there's just two rabbis sitting together, they start asking each other. Now, by the way, it's interesting that it says Hilchos Pesach. I mean, why is it relevant that they know Hilchos Pesach? What are you supposed to do with the Seder? You're asking each other about halachos? So yes and no. No, because we know that you're telling a story. Yes, because what's the answer to the Chacham? You tell him halacha. The Gra has a whole long thing that one of the midrashim talks about. What? So in one girsa in the midrash it says kol marbe besipritzis, right? In another it says kol marbe hilchos pesach. So the Gra likes the hilchos pesach one because either way. So you can do either one and you can be yotzei. Again, what kind of question is a matkif? Attacking question from a svara. Rava, what did he say? So he says, on a normal day, you're not going to dip at least once? We don't know. The culture might have been that. It's normal to dip at least once. Elam Rava, hachiktani, shebekol alos enu nachayavin letavlo, afilu pamachas. You'll notice, by the way, that was inserted in the Mishnah. You see in the parentheses? The reason it's in parentheses is because it doesn't make sense if it actually says in the Mishnah, because then Rava wouldn't be able to ask this question. That's how you know that it shouldn't be there at all, because the Gemara wouldn't have asked the question if they actually said that in the Mishnah. In a chayav in the tava afilu pa'amachas, halay lazay shtei pa'amim.
Are there many examples of that?
There are some examples of that, yeah. Anytime you teach a kid Gemara, adults, we stop asking these kinds of questions. Anytime you teach a kid Gemara, and the conclusion of the Gemara is that, okay, the Mishnah had the wrong text. So the first question the kid asks is, why didn't anybody ever fix the Mishnah? Which is a good question, but I mean, I guess the best answer is that, well, that would take the fun out of it. That's a good question. Matkiflar of Safra, Chayuvel Dardaki. So he says, Chayuvel Dardaki. Rashi says, Bitmia. By the way, many people read that as Bitmia. That's wrong. It's not Bitmia. That's terrible yeshivish language. It's Bitmiha. He asked it in wonderment. Bitmiha, Hamishum Hakera de Tinokos Kadeshi Shaluka of Dinan. We do it. Sorry. Chayuvi de Dardaki. It's a Chayuva for the children. That's what the dardaki is. A chayuva for the that's really considered an obligation that it rises to the level of chayavin. The only, as Mark said, the only reason we do the tevila, the only reason we do the dipping is to make the children ask questions. You can really say that that's a chayuva, that's an obligation. Ela amaravsa, apparently not. Ela amaravsa for hachiktani in anu matbilin afilu pamachas alay laze shtei pamim. He says that on all the nights we generally don't do it. But tonight, we do it twice. Okay, so what happened to the original question of Rava? Not so clear. Here's the part where it says, Rav and Shmuel. Mascha begnos, umesayim b'shvach, mai begnos, Rav amar v'tchilo of the avodas galulim hayu avaseinu, Shmuel amar avadim hayinu. Right, that's what he talked about. Is there anything else that I thought? Well, let's go into the Mishnah. Amr le Rav Nachman le daro avdei. Rav Nachman said to his servant, Avda demafik le mare le cherus, v'yoev le kaspa v'dava. A servant who goes from slavery to freedom. And not only that, they give him gold, right? They give him gold and silver. My Baile Meimar, what should he say? Amar lei boi ludu yilishbuchi. You should thank the person who does it for you, and you should praise him. Amar lei patata milomar manishtana patach v'amra avadim hayinu. So for that, he was willing to skip Manishtana and immediately went into Avadim Hayinu. Meaning the point of the Manishtana is to get to the degree, to get to the feeling of Lishbuche Uloduye, to thank God and to praise Him. Okay. Since tonight was a little bit more intense, why don't we stop there?